All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Super glad you're here. We're going to go ahead and get started. This is our global engagement breakout. And these are the real godly breakouts on this side of the building. Marriage, preaching, come on. You all talk about that all the time. So we're going to talk about reaching the nations for the glory of God. But really glad you're here. I hope you're challenged and equipped and encouraged over the next few minutes that we're going to spend together. You should have read the fine print. By being here, you are automatically committed to a trip to Pakistan next year. So you're already signed up.
Let's go.
So you're in. You may not know that, or maybe you got it. We'll see. But the next few minutes are going to be really, really fun, really helpful for you guys, I think. You may be saying, hey, this is a Sin Network church planning event. Why are we talking about reaching the nations at an event about planting churches? Maybe you've asked that question. So let me try to answer that question really quick for you, and then we're going to pray and kind of introduce our guests and get going here. But there's two reasons we're doing this as Sin Network. Reason number one is the Bible. We really believe the Bible. Meaning some guys say, well, you know, take me to some mission verses in the Bible. And I would come back and say, the entire Bible is about the mission of God, from the beginning to the end. So as we talk about planting churches here in the United States and North America, to be faithful church planters and pastors, I'm a pastor here in North America just like you. We believe from the beginning we want to work in a DNA that's in line with God's mission, the God who is on mission, and we want to help you do that. The other reason, as you've heard from our leader, Vance, one of our core values at Sin Network now is what we're calling seek first the kingdom. That's a game changer for us. Game changer for you. Game changer the way you're going to lead your churches, the way you're going to lead your life. Seek first the kingdom. So here's what we believe. You see this on the screen. You're going to hear it a lot. We really do believe God is at work locally. Aren't you glad God's at work where you are now planting? He's at work. But at the same time, God is at work globally. He's at work around the world. And we want to ask the question, okay, how do we help our churches of all sizes? You're saying, my church is barely 20 people. We're just getting started. That's okay. The church in Philippi that Paul wrote to may have been 20 people. We don't know how big it was. So we want to help remind you of the call of God on us as church planters, church pastors, and then we want to help you. How can my church engage the nations? What does that look like? So that's really the goal for the next few minutes. And we've got a great panel of guests up here and friends. I love these brothers. And I'm going to ask them for just a second to introduce themselves, who they are, and then I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to jump right in. Sound good? All right, Chris, we'll take it away.
Sounds good. I'm Chris Derry. I work at the main office for the IMB in Richmond, Virginia. So, and I'll say this too. IMB is the International Mission Board. So if you didn't know that, we're not IBM. We're your hometown team. We're your missions agency for Southern Baptists. We're here to serve you all. So my job in Richmond is to lead a couple of teams in helping to come alongside our churches all over the U.S. in connecting to the work of what God's doing overseas, and then also just help be in the trenches on missions mobilization. And there's another element of our work that focuses specifically on the next gen. We recognize that it's going to take the next generation to reach the next generation overseas, not exclusively, but also uniquely. And so we want to help come alongside your leaders and your churches, and then also to equip all the saints, including those that are 15 and above, to find a pathway to serve short-term and into long-term and into adulthood. So we're there to help be your guide for that. So Chris, I've been with the board 6 years, married 17 years, 3 kids. When I'm not doing this job, I'm the chauffeur of my kids to all the things that they go to. And if you have kids in their teenage years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we can commiserate later afterwards. But I'm glad you're here. Thanks.
Good stuff. Selvin?
Yeah, my name is Selvin Jeremitis. And my wife and my kids are actually right here. That's my beautiful wife, Laurel, and Abigail, if you want to wave Abby, and then Daniela and Luke. They're 13, 10, and 7. We are missionaries with the International Mission Board. We've been with the International Mission Board for 11 years. We serve right now in Uganda and a little small town, work with the unreached people group called Karamojong in Kabong, Uganda. That's where the Lord has placed us, and we are church planters. We are storytellers because 80% of our people, they can't read or write, so we take God's word and we story through that, and that's what God's given us an absolutely amazing privilege and opportunity to live among those people and share the gospel and plant churches.
Good morning. My name is Michael Lay.
I am also a missionary with the International Mission Board. I have four children and my wife. Unfortunately, she's not here. Selvin has a unique honor of that. My wife and I have served in West Africa in the country of Senegal and also in Paris, France, working among sub-Saharan African diaspora there. Do ministry in both French and Wolof, mostly among Muslim populations. And we've been with the board for about 9 years.
That's awesome. Thanks, man. Hey, will you all just welcome these guys? Let them know how glad we are they're here. Super glad you guys are here. Now, you might have thought that Selvin was a missionary to the unreached people group called the Georgians. Georgia Bulldogs and all the lost people in Georgia. But anyway, that's
Go
not
dog,
the case.
Saved,
He's a Bulldog right. fan. So you're going to hear a lot about IMB. And again, that's not a copier company. That's the International Mission Board. As Southern Baptist, you have a built-in, ready-to-go partner. Some of you know that. Some of you don't. So we hope by the next hour you're going to realize, man, what a gift we have of a really incredible partner who's already all over the world. What can that look like as churches to partners? We're going to talk a little bit more about that, all right? So do this. Join with me. I just want to ask God's favor on this time as we talk about things that I really do believe are very near to dear to his heart, the nations of the world and what our part is in that. So just bow your head. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to jump in. Well, Father, your word is just going through my mind right now. Psalm 86 says that all nations whom you have made will come and worship before you and will glorify your name. And Lord, at the same time, the Lord Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful and at the same time, the workers are few. So Lord, in our churches, in our cities, in our towns, to the nations, to the ends of the earth, we pray that you will use this time, Lord, for your glory among the nations. You will raise up workers in the harvest. And Lord, disciples will be made right where we are planting and living, and disciples will be made on the ends of the earth. We pray that for your glory. And Lord, we are honored to be a part of what you are doing. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to set it up this way. I'm going to ask three questions. First question is, I want to do a quick reminder. It's not going to be a sermon. You can turn it into a sermon and use it this Sunday. That's fine. What does God call us to do? What is the call from Scripture? We'll talk about that for just a minute. Then what does it look like? How can my church engage? And then what are some next steps for your church? We're going to try to make this really practical for you over the next few minutes. So what is the call? What does God command? And I just want to walk through Scripture very quickly. These will be on the screen. I really do believe from the beginning to the end of the Bible is the story of the God who is on mission. We see that from Genesis 3. Adam and Eve, you know the story. Sin entered in. They ran to the other side of the garden, and God pursued them. Where are you? We see it in Genesis 12 when God calls a man named Abram, later Abraham, says, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I'm on mission. Then you go to the very middle of your Bible, Psalm 117, one of the shortest chapters in your entire Bible. There is a praise, but it is a praise to the God of the nations. Psalm 117, verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations. Here's a call from the God of the universe, the very center of his revealed word, calling all nations to praise him. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and his faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And then you can go to the end of your Bible, and you all know it. We've sang songs about it. You've preached on it. The book of Revelation is our future and the future of humanity, that there will be a day when King Jesus returns, and he will gather from among all the nations and all the tribes, people from every tongue, language, tribe, and people around the throne. We know that. We've preached it. That's the biblical call for all of us. So the big idea I want you to take from that, again, pastor to pastor, is this. We believe that every believer and every church is called to play a part in reaching the nations of the earth. We've got a calling on our lives. So if that's the calling, then we want to ask ourselves, okay, then how do I adjust my life? How do I adjust my ministry? How do I lead my church to be built around that? And again, we're really honored to have these guys here with us. And I want to turn it to you for a second, Selvin, and then we'll go to you, Michael. But you are an example, I think, not a perfect one. I know you. You're not perfect. But you've adjusted your life around this call of God.
Yeah.
So tell us what that's looked like for you.
Yeah, ask my wife. I am perfect. Just kidding.
Why is she shaking her head so?
No, it's a call to obedience, right? I mean, that's what it all stemmed from. I mean, like, if you asked me, like, 15 years ago, if the Lord had told me, you know, that I'm going to move my entire family in the middle of Africa, in the middle of unreached people groups, and raise my family there, I would have probably ran the other direction. You know, it's just a crazy call, but it's never just all at one time. It's simple obedience, right? It started with you saying yes to the simple things, whether it is, you know, going across the person and sharing the gospel with the person that's sitting right next to you, or going on a, you know, serving your community in some kind of way, or going on a national mission trip somewhere in the States that you can go alongside with people. And as I made those small commitments to the Lord in simple obedience, it became clearer the next call that's going to be. So these steps of obedience, simple steps of obedience, that makes the next step a little bit easier. Not easy, but just easier to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust you in that. I'm going to trust you in the next one. It just makes the obedience a little bit more clearer, a little more easier. And that's how the Lord called us all the way to Africa, is committing yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, wherever you take me, I'm willing to do that. Wherever that you're calling me to do, and like the open heart, hand and saying, Lord, here I am, use me for your glory, for your kingdom, and so that the nations will come to know about you.
Yeah, so it's awesome. So take, and I'll say this because you have to say this with missionaries briefly. Tell us a little bit about where you're serving there in that region and your call, and then we'll go to Michael. And I want to say this too. I'm going to use some terms. We use the term missionary. These guys are missionaries in that they have laid down their lives to cross a culture and devote their lives to relocating their families somewhere else in the world. Now watch, sometimes as church planners, we want to say everybody's a missionary. I agree with that, and I don't agree with that. There is a particular call on the lives of some to be sent out, Acts 13, but all of us mm-hmm. are called to be missional.
Amen.
All of us. You guys have been called and set apart to go another part of the world. Tell us really good where you're serving and a little bit about maybe Kabong.
Yeah, so Kabong is northeast. It's in the country of Uganda. I was also very ignorant when I first got called me to Africa. I was like, all right, Lord, let's go to Africa. And then opened the globe and I was like, okay, Africa is not a country, it's a continent. And there are many, many, many countries in there. So that's where I began my missionary call. So so we live in the country of Uganda and in the northeast corner, it's called Kabong. It's a very, very rural setting. So it's about a 13-hour drive from the city, capital city, to where we are on dirt roads. It's a very, very long road, and it's an unreached people group called Karamajong, and it's unreached because for many, many years, because of alcoholism and animism, which is their religion, and just the bondage of that, that people have not even heard the name of Jesus. So where we work at, there are thousands and thousands of people in 2023 that have never even heard the name of Jesus. Never even heard. It's not like they heard the name of Jesus and they're rejecting it. I'm talking about they have not even heard the name of Jesus. So that's the people group we work with. That's what the Lord has called us to do. So it's a very rural village setting in the middle of nowhere.
That's good, man. Thank you. Michael, tell us a little bit. Similar, you and your family have, you know, the call of God in general, but specifically he's placed a specific call on your life. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think as When I first met my wife, guys, like, I didn't even know what a missionary was. That was in 1994. Her parents were missionaries over in Senegal. The point being is we serve an extraordinary God who uses very ordinary people, and I'm a very ordinary person. And as I read scripture, you can just see Jesus is just calling us out, and we see God's mission and his heart for the nations just throughout the whole meta-narrative of scripture. And as I read that, I realized that everything that the Lord was doing in my life, all the skill sets and experiences he had given me, were definitely not to build my kingdom. It was to build his kingdom. And as I tapped into that mindset, I began to realize that there is no such thing as contentment when you are in disobedience. And so no matter how great my little kingdom was and my job that I was working and all the benefits I had and whatever else, I would drive home at the end of the day and there'd be a tension in my heart that said, you can continue to do this, but I have something greater for you to do. And it wasn't until I gave into that that tension and to be obedient to God's call to move overseas that tension went away and God has decided to use us over and to advance his kingdom overseas. And then the other neat thing about obedience, guys, it's contagious. As we began to share with others what we were planning on doing and the heart that we had for the Senegalese people, our church wanted to know how can we be involved? Our friends wanted to know, how can we be involved? It was no matter just a, like, oh, hey, we support missions. It was a, we want to learn how we can particularly pray for the nations, pray for these people, and get involved. And so obedience is catching.
Man, that's good. If you weren't challenged by both of those testimonies right there, I don't know if you were awake or not. I was challenged by both of those, but thank you, brothers, for that. So switch gears just a little bit. Kind of, we've seen the meta-narrative, as you say, through Scripture. All right, so Chris, let me come back to you. Help us understand, how would you describe the global situation right now? And again, you don't understand the global situation from the right perspective by always watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, whichever side you fall to, I don't care. Help us understand. So, man, what's the global situation? Man, is God doing something globally? Help us with that.
Oh, absolutely is the answer to that. Absolutely. I mean, as Southern Baptists this past year, so here's the thing. You're a brand new church plant, maybe in your first couple of years. I'm here to tell you today that you are a church that's planting churches. Mm-hmm. So let me just start with that, right? Last year alone, the work that, because of your support of Cooperative Program, Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, and if you don't know those terms, let's talk after a little bit. But your prayer and generosity toward the things we do together in cooperation saw over 20,000 churches planted among IMB teams and their national partners and believers last year, things that we've had our hand and that as the Lord works through us to see the nations come to know Christ. And so I want you to know that there is an advancement of the kingdom of God globally that you're a part of already. You are a church that's planting churches as you join us in cooperation. That's why we do this anyway. And so as you look at the map here to my right, you begin to see on this map the expansion of the kingdom. And again, this is what we can put numbers to. We know that God is doing so much more than what we can put into a pretty visual, right? The way that he's drawing others to himself, seeing new people come to faith and discipled and new churches started. This is what we see as we look at all of evangelicalism. Now we have, I believe, some of the best researchers on the planet in looking at the expansion of the church, because we're working as your IMB with Joshua Project. We're working with a number of other, like Wycliffe Bible Translators and other research agencies and other like-minded denominations in evangelicalism to look at what's happening among the church. So we look at this and we see the kingdom expanding, and it's exciting. Especially in some of these places, look at where the green is in the big country of China, and knowing how oppressive that regime is toward the gospel, and yet look at the church. Amen. So I want to encourage you in thinking about where you're planting, and as you partner with teams in North America and overseas to see the kingdom expand, God is at work. That's the first lens. The first lens by which we always look at the scripture, by look at the work of the work in front of us. It's not CNN or Fox. This is the lens we look. We see God on the move, and we're joining him in that. You've heard that a number of times already this week, and you know that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But here's the second lens that we also have to view what's in front of us. The current state of lostness. And so we keep track, looking at population data, people group data, birth rates, death rates, the spread of the evangelical church, a ton of brilliant people in our global research department that know math much better than I did. That's why I was a history major. Put all these things together and begin to look at the number of lost people who died daily without Christ. And that number grows year to year to now where it's approximated at over 175,000 people each day die and enter into a Christless eternity. This is our second lens. We rejoice in how God is at work, and yet we recognize the significant need that's around us in Boone, North Carolina, in Baltimore, Maryland, in Conroe, Texas, and also in London, in India. The real places where the gospel needs to continue to expand. Lost peoples that are constantly around us. And so some numbers that go along with these dots, there are, as we estimate, around 12,000 people groups around the world. Now, a people group, very basic definition will be this. You know, it's a combination of ethno-linguistic characteristics and worldview and religion and all kinds of things, right? But it's basically this. It's the largest group of people that the gospel can penetrate through without barrier. So when you get to a point where another people group that might be similar has a different worldview, different religion, we've now crossed over, we have a barrier for the gospel to penetrate through, it needs to be defined differently, contextually presented differently, maybe even. And so 12,000 people groups around the world. 7,000 of those, roughly, are what Selvin just identified as what we would call unreached. Now, the terminology we use for unreached means this. They're less than 2% evangelical Christian. That entire population, whether it's 20,000 people in the people group or 20 million people in that people group, they're less than 2% evangelical Christian, as best that we can tell from the research. Now, it's not a made-up number. It's kind of one of those numbers that we look at for what's the critical mass that needs to be among a people group so that the gospel can penetrate through that people group by its own people. That's that 2% number. Are there enough believers to take the gospel to their own people? The real challenging number that's inside that 7,000 unreached peoples is the 3,100 people groups, some 400 million people, by the way, who are unengaged. No one's trying to reach them. The basic definition for that is there's no boots on the ground strategy for church planting among that people. The basic thing would be to think of, there's no way to go and hear God's word preached that Sunday. There's no missionary present to explain the doctrine of Christ. There's no one there to present hope. Not the IMB, not any other evangelical that we know of, single family or other agency that's there. So here we are 2,000 years into the Great Commission, and this is still the task that's before us. Do you hear Paul's voice in the back of your mind? Do you hear him saying, I must go on in my work? Like, I want to pass through Rome. I want to get to Spain. Like, do you hear his voice? This is why. Because Paul saw his task as to reach the Gentiles with Christ's gospel. This is the task that's still before us. So when we think about why we do this together, why we don't try and just operate as, even though we are autonomous churches, why we come together, it's for this. There's so much more that we can penetrate into the darkness with the gospel as we work together than if we were alone. That's why we cooperate. But it's also because this can be extremely discouraging to us as well too. And we have to remember God is sovereign. And we think of Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, and we remember who wins. We remember that there will be those from every nation, from every tribe and people and language that are represented around the throne of God, worshiping him and waving palm branches. That vision will come to pass, but this is before us still today. And so just kind of a picture of what's happening. As you send, we're joining God where he's at work and expanding the kingdom, and we're moving toward the red. One more just quick thing. You see where all the reds clustered together in sub-Saharan Africa and in India? Guess what? The most populous cities on the planet by 2100 are in those regions. So it's the epicenter of lostness, and it will soon to become the epicenter of human population. What if right now we saw healthy churches planted and healthy proclamation of the gospel in those red areas as God draws together population into those cities over the next 80 years? What good can we see done in Jesus' name for that sake? So just the picture of the work that's before all of us.
That's good. Yeah, thanks, Chris.
So you should feel a tension. Hope you feel a tension biblically between, man, the lostness is great. God is at work. We've got a part to play. So I had the privilege in 2001 of being a part of a church plant in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. I could find it on a map, unlike you, couldn't find you on a map. And as part of that plant with our leader, Vance Pittman, and from the very beginning, the Lord put on our heart as a team that this church is not just about us. The Lord really does have the nations on his heart from the very beginning. And I really believe that's true for your church plant, whatever stage of development you're in, lift up your eyes. Yes, he's called you to reach your city, absolutely, but you also have a part to play in the nations. So then you say, man, the nations, it's immense. How can I even begin? What steps can my church take to even begin to be engaged? So that's really the next question. How can my church reach the nations? How can we do that? So I want to give you a quick illustration. My example of that is the book of Philippians and the church at Philippi. Again, I'm not going to preach you a sermon. I'm just going to be very quick. We know very little about the church at Philippi. We know some of their first members. They were a mess, right? Businesswoman, a demon-possessed girl, and a jailer. But we also know this. When Paul writes the letter back to the church at Philippi, he says in the first chapter, he says, "Always in every prayer of mine, for you all with joy, because," verse 5, "of your partnership in the gospel." And you hear that throughout the book of Philippians. Is here's this little church. We don't know how big it was. Doesn't matter. Everything God did through the Apostle Paul, that little church was a part of it. And you see they were a part of it as you read through, and I won't take the time to do it. They prayed fervently for Paul. They gave generously to the mission of Paul of planting churches throughout Europe, Macedonia. And then they also sent teams, evidently. A dude named Epaphroditus was sent out from Philippi to take Paul some money and some resources, evidently. So the point is, our churches that God's calling us to start have a massive part to play. How do we do that? One of the ways is you have a built-in partner already through the IMB. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you a quick video. For some of you, it's going to be an introduction to the IMB. For some of you, you're going to say, man, I get that. And then we'll talk about a little bit something called the M-Task and kind of go from there. So take a look at this video. It's about a minute, 2 minutes long. Go ahead, Andre.
We don't see points on them. They aren't just places to us. We see stories of lives living without the hope found in Jesus. Today, somewhere between the Great Commission and the Great Multitude, we find ourselves facing the world's greatest problem: lostness. Even in the midst of natural disasters, humanitarian crises, and political instability, Southern Baptists send IMB missionaries to give their lives to the lost, living amongst those who have never heard the gospel. People in hard-to-reach places, people in cities, and those who are dispersed and displaced around the world. At the IMB, we believe that missionary presence cultivates gospel access. Gospel access that knows no geographic or social boundary. We believe that missionary presence fuels gospel belief, and we see the results. We see lives transformed, generations forever changed, and churches planted. Local expressions of the church that take ownership and thrive. God has made our purpose clear. Together, we seek to take the gospel to every nation, to all tribes, to all peoples, to all languages. We don't see places on a map. We see our place in fulfilling the Great Commission. This is our mission. This is your mission. And we are reaching the nations together.
All right, so I'm going to take the next few minutes. I'm going to break that down a little bit. So organization, partner organization, International Mission Board, right along Send Network, made up of missionaries who are serving on the field. Now, here's a question you may have no idea. What in the world do missionaries do? We all do. You know, some people say that to pastors, right? Y'all only work one day a week. What do y'all do? What do y'all do? What you're going to find out is we're going to go over something called the missionary task. It's called the M-Task, and it's something the International Mission Board is committed to. These guys build their ministry around it, and as you listen to it, here's what you're going to discover. Man, they're doing the same things we're doing as church planters. Amen. The end game is healthy, reproducing, multiplying churches. So we learn from together. So, Selvin, take that a little bit. Talk about the M-Task. Maybe answer that question, and we're going to fill in some examples. The M-Task. What is that? What do you do?
So what do I do? So what we do is we, in the afternoons, we gather a bunch of little lions, and then we play with them. In the afternoons, no, I'm just kidding. It has nothing to do with animals. You know, when people ask me, that's the answer I give them. It's not that exciting. But, you know, the first thing is we do is entry, right? We've got to enter into a community, right? We've got to locate them. We've got to find where they are, actually engage them. And as Vance was talking about, we need to engage the city in our context, our village with the gospel of Jesus. So for entry, we actually do that through malaria clinics, and we'll talk about what that is. Malaria is the leading cause of death in our community. I mean, hundreds of people, of kids and people, just die of malaria, not because they just don't have medical care, and malaria is not something that just goes away. You need medication. If not, people die in less than 3 days. And so what we do as the Baptist mission is we go find these villages that have never had the gospel, and we go and we just do a malaria clinic. We get there, we set up this little place to test people for malaria, and hundreds of people just come to us. We just test them. It's like a little prick, and then if they have malaria, we give them medication. I mean, the medication is about $1.25, pretty much. That's what it is, and that saves people's lives. And so we do malaria clinics, and we do also other things, like small things that our nurses go alongside, and that's an opportunity for us to enter into a community or a place that we have never made access to.
Yeah, so there's supposed to be a graphic up on the screen, but we're having some slight technical difficulties, but you'll see that. So entry.
Yeah.
You enter into a place. How do I engage the area where I am? Same thing you're trying to do, right? Yeah. So after entry.
Yeah, from there we go to evangelism, because for us, if you don't share the gospel, it's really not missions, right?
Yeah,
it has to be a bold proclamation of the gospel. And for us, we just talk about stories. We have made up a story from God's word. It's got two roads. It's a very simple way to share the gospel. So it's just not going into the place and doing a malaria clinic or a mental health clinic or assessment. Right from the beginning, we make sure that we share the gospel with people so they have an understanding of why we do what we do and to share the gospel in that place.
Chris, what page is that diagram on?
95. Yeah,
so if you guys turn to page 95 in the booklet there called the Foundations document, you'll be able to follow along and kind of see this cycle, this MTASK cycle that we're talking about. And so Selvin mentioned entry and then evangelism, and then we go into discipleship. And so discipleship, and depending on your context, might look really different. For example, in Paris, France, we work among the Senegalese who have had the gospel among them for a really long time. But their hearts are hard, hard, hard. And so we don't have a lot of people to go out and to disciple. So what do? We go, we're members of a local church there. We go and we disciple the people that are in that church. And we take them out, making them and teaching them how to become disciplers who go out and make disciples. And we enter again into the fields of entry and into evangelism. And so when you look at that diagram, it's not a linear progression. We can jump around and skip around. So we could go into, let's say, after discipleship, we'd have healthy church formation. We might enter into a church and kind of walk through the characteristics of a healthy church with them, trying to really strengthen the French National Church, to train them up, to reach the nations who are in their backyard. Well, we might realize that they have some components that they're just anemic in, where they're not completing this healthy church circle. And then we'll have to go back to discipleship, to disciple those folks, to continue to help them to build in that way.
That's good.
The goal is not converts, right? We want disciples. I mean, that's the whole idea behind it. And so for us, in our context, you know, church formations, I mean, we are going from like no churches to churches, right? So that's what we do, as Apostle Paul did, is we planted churches. Now, our first church, we planted about 6 years ago with about 12 believers, 12 people, six of them were believers, five, you know, solid one. There's always one guy, right? But, you know, we started the church, and the Lord grew that church in like 2 years. That church members grew to about 100 people, and it was great. And then in 3 years, like last year, we planted five churches among the Karamojong people. This year, before we left, we planted two more. So right now in Kabong, we have eight churches, and we have 1,500 people worshiping Jesus every Sunday morning. Yeah. I mean, that's all glory
to the glory of God, by the way. This was an unreached people group.
Unreached people group. Amen. And that's what's great about it, is because God has called us to plant churches, not just churches. Let me repeat that. We want healthy, reproducible churches. That's what's going to make the difference. Churches planting churches, same thing in this context, but planting healthy, reproducible churches is what God has called us to do. And that falls in the MTAT. It's not just disciples, making disciples, but how are you going to form them into healthy, reproducible churches and plant those churches in that area?
One of the things you'll hear that's really interesting is these guys talk about the MTASK. As a part of Sin Network, you're hearing our leader speak much more a missionary language than maybe you've heard in the past. Now, that's because the country you're currently serving in is going to be reached much more from a missionary standpoint than assuming there's a bunch of believers there, because there's not. So the idea of engage your city, make disciples, plant the church, that's what missionaries on the field have been doing for years. So you hope you see the similarities between what we're doing. So we talked about training leaders, planting churches. Michael, back to you.
Yep, so that's what we've got. We've got entry, evangelism, discipleship, healthy church formation. Next component is leadership development. And so when you look at a place like Sub-Saharan Africa, our vision for Sub-Saharan Africa is big. We wanted a God-sized vision that only God can do, and that is to see African churches raising up African missionaries and sending them to the ends of the earth. And in order to do that, there is a lot of work to be done in developing leaders because we have some non-gospels that are infecting the continent, prosperity gospels that are infecting the continent that's going to go in and require a lot of training up local leaders to be able to then cast that vision to their people to go out and reach the nations. And then ultimately we end with exit to partnership. Not an exit of the country, like, hey, bye, see you later, thank you, but an exit to partnership to where we realize the missionary's task is temporary. Ultimately, it's the leaders and those people who will need to own that task and to just build that ethos within their churches and their folks to go out and to continue God's mission for the world.
Yeah, that's good. So let's steer it this way really quick. By the way, Selvin, I'm more aware of what God's doing in Uganda because our local church is a part of what's going on in Uganda through Selvin and through his family. Eight churches. Do you pastor eight churches?
Every one of them. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
So what leadership training, we got 21 pastors right now that we are training, right? All these are all Karamojong local believers. They're not outsourced. They're local Karamojong believers that we've been discipling and pouring into. And we do something called TEE, which is basically theological education by extension. So all these 21 pastors, we met every Sunday, and we meet for about 4 to 5 hours, and these guys are hungry for God's word. And they're the ones who are pastoring these churches. They're the ones leading them. I mean, they're my Chris Tomlins because they write their own songs, which are so much better, you know, and it's great, you know, and the Lord is doing some incredible work through these guys and pastoring those churches. And that's what we plan on doing right now.
Yeah. So one of the differences between what these guys are called to do and what we're called to do often, theirs is temporary. Theirs call is to exit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a call on our lives as pastors. Sometimes God calls us to stay in one place for a long, long time. You're there not to pastor churches, but to raise up leaders who will then pastor churches.
Exactly.
So there's a big difference. Now, let's switch gears a little bit, try to make this really practical. So you heard the M task, kind of what these guys do. So maybe you take an example, and I'm sorry for the technical difficulty. There we go. We're close. Well, on one screen. That's all right. I thought we would just go IMB and turn off all the power, right? Just get rid of the chairs. Anyway, nobody wanted to do that. Okay. Turn the heat up really high. All right, so that's what missionaries are doing on the field, but what part can my local church play in that? I mean, really, because there's this idea, well, let's just give global missions to the professionals, which is not the case at all, and then local churches back in the States kind of throw some money over the fence and just say, well, we'll see what happens. That's not the biblical model at all. So, Selma, give us an example. Maybe take one of these and say, how has a local church been a part of what's going on there in Uganda?
I'll take two small ones. All right, first one is entry.
Missionaries. Right?
You know, like, the greatest thing is, you know, we go to a local church, we talk about what the Lord is doing, and there are a lot of medical professionals that can actually be a part of the M task, right, with entry. Because we're talking about nurses, we're talking about doctors, we're talking about even sometimes Pastor Mike came and he pricked people. It doesn't need to be a professional medical person, but can come alongside with a team. Because we have nurses over there, national nurses and VHT teams that are perfect. So for our context, man, if you're a nurse or a doctor or any kind of medical professional, you can come and do entry, which is basically going into these places and testing for malaria, testing for respiratory infection, just hear their heart and hear their chest, because we have medications and we have everything that they need to actually share the gospel. Because the whole idea is, how are you going to share the gospel with someone who's actually starving and hasn't eaten for 3 days, right? You know, how are you going to share the gospel with someone who's actually going to die tomorrow because they don't have, you know, the blood's like drying up because they have malaria? I mean, the opportunity for us to go and not just hear the gospel, which is good and it's going to save them for the rest of their lives, but to live the next day, right? So you have a part in coming and just doing small things to make sure that you can actually, so these kids can live, these babies can live, and their parents can live, and you're actually saving not just the spiritual life, but the physical life, so that they can be a disciple of Jesus and actually generations to come can know about Jesus. The second part of it is, you know, if you're a pastor, and there's lots of pastors over here, I mean, the the leadership development is huge. And so with our local church that we have over here, our sending church, I mean, I just ask for pastors and Sunday school teachers and ladies to come and to teach our pastors and our wives about what does it mean to live a godly life. Because these are first generation Christians, meaning they have never, ever known the gospel. And they're looking at me to see, what does a godly husband do? You know, what does a godly man do? You know, we're talking about what does biblical manhood look like, and for all these pastors, what does a pastor look like? Servant leadership. And so when we use pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers to come and just teach our 21 pastors and hopefully more about what God is doing and how God can use them.
So, Mike, let's go to you for example, but let me fill in the blank here really quick. So what you're saying is that short-term trips from churches in the States can make a difference. Now, I'm not a proponent of churches sending out teams that parachute in and say, hey, we're here to do something, put us to work. I am a proponent of working alongside established IMB teams who you help advance the work that's already started through teams that are on the ground. That's our partner through the IMB. Our churches do that. Our church gets to do that. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Michael, you want to add, give us another example?
Sure, and I appreciate that segue. I think that's really important. You take a city like Paris, France. I think a lot of teams, we get a lot of teams who want to come to Paris, France, obviously. And we eliminate a lot of teams because they may just want to be a tourism trip. Or a lot of teams eliminate themselves because they say, we want to come and do something. We want to build a house. You can't build a house in Paris. We want to come do medical clinics. Well, you can't come do medical clinics. There's very little you can do. And so a church comes then with the idea that we want to invest ourselves. We have a team of 3 people. We work in a city of 12 million people. We're trying to reach over 1 million West Africans. Guys, we need to like exegete that city. So we have teams who come over and help us map the city, who literally go and walk the streets with us to help us identify where strategic areas would be for us to be able to do evangelism. I mean, hours walking. It's not like something you probably want to put on your Facebook page. However, those teams get to come back year after year, and now they're knowing these areas, they're knowing the people groups that are there, and they're knowing the need, and it's amazing how they're able to invest in that. And then secondly, we have teams who come over and help us be able to do healthy church formation and discipleship. One of our best trips was when we had a group of college students come over, and we teamed up with the French church, the local church, who was trying to train their people up in discipleship. We teamed them up with our Americans. They went out into the city. We released them for 2.5-3 hours, just go on their own. They came back and debriefed, and it was amazing how the Americans were able to show the French the boldness that we have to share our faith. They saw the methodology for sharing their faith, and then the French person was able to translate and share their faith with other French people and with people from other countries, Muslims, with people they've never shared the gospel with, and they were able to do it in a very low-pressure context because all they're doing is translating. And then after that, the passion and the interest to go out and on the streets to increase the evangelism among the French people just increased, just because of that one little day that they spent with the American teams who came over. So it's just small things that have major impacts.
It's good. So one of the words I hope you're hearing through this is the idea of partnerships. And again, I don't, our church is a small church in East Tennessee, but we've been able to partner with the work in Uganda over the last couple of years. We have a 5-year commitment. We're in for 5 years. It involves significant giving. It involves sending teams. It involves a prayer strategy, all that. So here's our little church in East Tennessee that I think is making a pretty significant impact through the men and women God have already placed there. Your church can do the same. So that is kind of the question. All right, what is the next step for my church? I may be 5 weeks in. I may have not even planted like the Cheathams back here yet. Right? But what is my next step as a church? And again, IMB can be a big part of that. So maybe quickly help us. What can some of those next steps be?
Yeah, absolutely. Hear me say this. Like, big point, all the gifts that are needed for the Great Commission are in the church, right? Do you hear the examples already that are given? Right? They don't, all the gifts for the Great Commission don't exist in Michael, don't exist in Selvin. They exist in the church, right? That's why we do this together. And every element of the core missionary task has a place for your church to be involved. Amen. In praying for that specific element of that work, praying for leader trainings that are coming up every Sunday for 4 hours, right? Sending volunteer teams to do entry strategies, mapping cities. So every element of that has a place for your church. So, okay, so let me take one more step back and just say this. I want you to be in a relationship with an IMB missionary team. That's one way to start. The Great Commission runs on the rails of relationships. If nothing else, look to the New Testament letters. Look to Philippians. Look to all the different New Testament. Look at all the times that Paul calls out all of those people who were instrumental in helping him along in his way, right? As encouragers in the work, as co-laborers in the work, as suppliers of resources for the work, that's us. So I want you to be in a relationship with an IMB missionary team. So here's how we can help you. One, pray about what would that look like for your fellowship. How is God calling you beyond the borders of your city to be involved where he's already at work? We're in 122 countries, folks. Just throw a dart at the map and then say, Lord, is that it? Like, you can go over that easy. I want you to be in a relationship, so pray about what that would look like. As the Lord stirs, give us a call. So we have, at the IMB, I have a team of strategists that are all over the U.S. Their job, like I mentioned before, is to be a connection point for you to the work. Looking at your church and the giftings in your body, whether it's 20 people or 200 in your plant, and saying, how can we be a part of this work? Let's match you with things that are happening overseas where you can immediately plug the giftings in your body to the work that's happening strategically. If it's entry strategies in certain countries, if it's leadership training in other countries. There's not a ton of leadership development happening in places like Turkey as it is happening in Africa. Because there's, in general, not specifically, but in general, there's more work on the entry and evangelism side in countries like that. So we want to match well in that. So we're here to help with that. There's an easy email address that you can get to. It's called info@imb.org. If you email that, there's a team in Richmond that sits three cubicles from me that will answer your email and connect you to the member of my team that can help. I'll also give you my email address if you want it. So info@imb.org. And if you want a human face, you'll get one when you email that. But mine is cderry, C-D-E-R-R-Y. @imb.org. And I'd love to connect you regionally to the strategist on my team to help make those connections. So relationships. Second thing is equipping. How can the IMB help? Okay, so today it's starting. So you have the Foundations book that's here in your chair. This is a book that we put together that helps to articulate what an IMB missionary does, what we as Southern Baptists do in seeing the Great Commission expanded across the world, but it also defines terms like reached and unreached. It defines terms like church. When we say church in Uganda, what does church mean? Well, it's really just a group of committed believers who will meet together. There's no really not a number that's given there, but you could say probably at least two or three, more than that, but to practice the ordinances together as we see biblically. What does a leader mean? What does a disciple mean? Well, we look for six different transformations as we disciple believers, six different areas of transformation in the life of that believer that we want to see in discipleship. It outlines that and gives you scripture verses and some things to look for in that. So there's helpful terminology that's in here that we want you to use in your own context. And then also to understand how we would work together in partnership. So pray, connect with us, and then use these tools. We have a great website, imb.org/training, where you have lots of free online trainings that you can use to help to inspire and equip the members of your church to understand their unique role in the Great Commission. And so take advantage of those resources. You already paid for them through Cooperative Program. Thank you. Have them. So use things like our 6 months discipleship course. Use things like God's Heart for the Nations as a great training, 6 week training for your small groups to consider God's thread of redemption throughout the scriptures and then the individual's role in joining in with him in that. So use those resources and tell us how else we can help you. This is a relationship, right? We don't want to just prescribe all the things that you need, but you do have all these things available to you. So some basic steps, pray, relationship, use the equipping resources, and let's begin to think about partnership. No matter your size, where you are in your plant, we're here to help.
Great. Yep. All right. So I want you to go ahead and be thinking. We're going to open it up to some questions from you guys, for me or any of these guys on the panel in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to remind you, all right, we saw biblically this call of God to be involved in the nations, every disciple, every church. Now you have some tools, way to go about that.
Third thing I want to put in front of you is that. Okay, a lot of you all have heard about this. So one of the commitments that Send Network is making, and again, I want to brag on our leader, Vance Pittman. This is from his heart. There's funding behind this. 2023, one of the privileges that I've gotten already to do is we've gone on 5 global vision trips this year in 2023, taking around 50 of you, church planters, to 5 different locations, worked with IMB teams around the world. The goal of those are relationships and partnerships to come out of that, to see the work, to get your hands dirty in the work, and then to come back and say, okay, maybe my church can engage there in that part of the world. 2024, the year that's upcoming, we're going to take 100 church planters, 8 different locations. For security reasons, we don't publish all of those, but I'll just go ahead and tell you, I think most of them are on here. February is Bogota, March is Jakarta, Indonesia, April will be Morocco, Central Asia, that's Istanbul in June, South Asia is Hyderabad, India, and then Mexico City, London, and then that last one will be Calcutta, India. So that's our 8 locations. For you, a next step for you, if you are a church planter with the Send Network endorsed, is you've got a little QR code there. You can take a picture of that. There's an application process, and we're going to have, to be really honest, we're going to have more applicants than we have spots. But what we want to take are guys who are at different stages of church planning, but who are ready to be invested in and who are ready to come back and lead partnerships. So fill out that application. We'll circle back with you. We're going to remain here at the end of this breakout for you to ask any questions that you might have about that. If I didn't say, you need to know this, that's fully funded for you. Airfare is covered. Ground costs are covered. How in the world is that possible? Because 45,000 churches have contributed to something called the Cooperative Program that gets a bad rap and all the junk you hear on Twitter. Well, forget all that. The reason it matters is because we get to collaborate together. So there's some lady on the other side of Arkansas. I know there's somebody here from Arkansas. I just thought of the state of Arkansas, you know, who has no idea where her money's going, but she's giving faithfully, and she's sending a church planter to go serve in Istanbul that's going to come back and lead his church to invest in the nations. Man, working together makes that happen.
Tell them the stories from the summer or this year already.
Yeah, so we got one. We've got some incredible investments. There's a guy here, Alan Michael. He's a new church planner. He's 5 weeks into his core group. He went to Bulgaria with us. He's already got a group together. He's going to take 12 or so from his little brand new church plant to serve in Bulgaria with the team there next year. We want to hear those stories over and over and over again. We want you to be a part of that. So time, I'm going to try to guard the time. I do want to open it up to any questions you have about IMB broadly, specifically, anything it may be like that. We've got 2 or 3 minutes for that, and then we'll wrap it up and we'll go for lunch. So, questions? Yes, sir, right here. Can you put that back up?
Is that just for church planters, or if you have a church that's interested in partnering with church planters?
So, here's the hope. Is this for church planters or entire churches? That's your question. The hope is the planter is who will be funded. These are for you, the planters. The hope is then that you come back and then you lead your church in trips next month, next year, whatever. But these are specifically for church planters.
Right.
Great question. What else? Yes, sir, right in the middle. So let me repeat his question, and I don't know who wants to take it. Any of you guys can. So we believe that God is bringing the nations here. We know that. We also believe we have a commitment and a call to go to the nations. It's never either or. It's both and. His question is, how is Send Network and the IMB working together to reach the people groups that are right here in our cities? What does that look like? So you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. So the IMB has been working with the North American Mission Board at a number of our state conventions and a couple of our seminaries to begin to pull together resources, both physical resources and human resources, to do training of churches to help to engage the nations that are here in the United States. So we now have a formal name for that network of leaders called the DM Collective, the Diaspora Missions Collective. And so one of the, like, what does that mean? Okay, so if I want to have resources for how to engage Muslims in my contexts, whatever that looks like, how can the IMB help me to do that? How can NAM help me to do that? Well, we have pooled resources together to give you best practices on for ladies hosting a tea, and how to use tea as a way to share the gospel, or even just basic worldview understanding or religion understanding. That way you can better equip your body to present the gospel contextually, right? So if it was to a Hindu, to not say to them, you must be born again to be saved. Like, we'd all agree that's a right statement, right? But for a Hindu, he would say, well, I've been born again many times, and I'll be born again many other times. I'm trying to stop being born again, right? So you see, like, so there's lots of those kinds of tools that are out there that NAM and IMB have pulled together. And we can also send, as their stateside, missionaries to come and help to do trainings. So that DM Collective, it's dmcollective.org, I think, is a website. You can email info@theimb.org email address to get leaders, to get resources, to get access to all of that. We believe very much in engaging the nations here.
Yep. Yeah. So he hits on something I think is really important. That's great info. Good. So that's happening. These trips, what we're trying to do in the Send Network is never an assumption that the nations are all over there. They're here. However, what we've learned is when you and you take people from your church to the nations, they will come back with a different view to the nations that are right next door. I've seen it almost every time. They will come back changed and different. So that's why these partnerships and these trips and things like that are so important. So maybe one more question. Anybody? Time?
We have time.
Good? All right. Great time together. These guys are going to remain here. I'm going to remain here. Love to talk to you about trips, resources, anything like that. Our next step is lunch. Did you see what Andrew did? He just threw his wife under the bus and said, my wife wants to know. Andrew, you church planters kill me. So I'm going to answer that question because it's asked a lot. I would love for my wife to go on every one of these trips. We have 100 spots. So the funding goes to church planters. The hope is, same thing, church planters come back and they take their wives and members from their church the next year. So the funding is not for wives, it's not for staff members, it's for the primary church planter because we have 100 spots. And I wouldn't want my wife to take a spot from another church planter that might go. That's kind of the idea. It's limited. So, Andrew, you can communicate that to your wife who was asking that question. I'm sure it wasn't you. Anyway.
Hey, Mike, just want to let you know, we have prayer cards over there. Please take them with you. We would covet your prayers, everything runs on prayer. So please pray for it. There's some specific prayer requests in the back of our prayer cards. Please take one that is for you. Put it in your whatever places or your refrigerator, in your Bible, whatever. We would love for y'all to pray for the work that is going on in Kabong.
100%. We're going to do that. We're going to close in prayer. Then we're going to come up, hang out with these guys, spend some time. Join me in prayer, and then we'll be done. Lord, thank you again for the privilege of this time. Thank you for the privilege of investing our lives in something that cannot fail. Your kingdom expansion is promised. Lord, there are obstacles. As Paul said, there is much opposition in the city, but Lord, there are many in this city. There are many in the cities of the world. You are at work. God, I pray for these men next to me. I pray particularly for those that you've called and set apart to cross a culture and take their families and their wives and their children and invest their lives sometimes in very hard places. Lord, I pray for the work that's going on in Paris. I pray for the work that's going on in Karamoja there in northern Uganda. And Lord, I pray that God, disciples would be made, churches would be planted to the glory of God, that the nations may know that you are God. We love you and we praise you. In your name, amen.